Okay, welcome, folks, to a very special edition of Stunt Granny Audio. This is Audio 150, Part 3, and there are three of us here on this audio, Eric, Dusty, and Dan, a.k.a. Zura. Dusty, how's it going, man?
Yeah, we're the ones who weren't good enough to be with Jeremy and Kevin.
They just took it upon themselves to record a two-part audio for special number round 150.
Yeah.
And here we are looking like yesterday's garbage.
Well, Dan's been having all kinds of problems today. What's going
Dan,
on there?
Dan and I are actually on the road right now from Des Moines to Waterloo for this weekend's George Tragos Lou Says Professional Wrestling Hall of Fame induction taking place at the National Wrestling Hall of Fame Dan Gable Museum in Waterloo, Iowa. Dan, do you have less to say than that?
I can't top that other than I've never been on an official numbered Stunt Granny, I don't think. So to be on part three, that's pretty fitting. That's good. I listened to part one and two from most of the drive from Council Bluffs to Des Moines, so I'm ready for this.
Well, here we go. We're all amped up. And here's a little behind the scenes for everybody. We call this this common phone number, this conference call, and we enter in all of our access codes, and we hit all the right buttons. And then when we hear the nice lady say it's time to record, we guffaw and we laugh back and forth for a second and we make fart jokes. And then we we give ourselves about a 5-second delay in talking in order to get into like GarageBand or Audacity or some free editing website. And we know where to start the audio and we know where to end the audio.
Yeah.
Dustin, as we were getting ready to go on the air, said, I'm watching Impact and I just watched Gunner. And I said, I've never seen Gunner wrestle. I've only seen him as Gunner and Murphy, the security guys. And Dan said, I saw him beat Sting. At which point I hit the button because I was fucking pissed.
Yeah.
I don't care how much I rail on Sting and how terrible he is nowadays. For somebody who used to play a security guard in TNA about a year ago to have beaten Sting, it just infuriates me.
Oh, he beat him, and I'm actually in the middle of watching his match right now. There's a four-way dance, and he kind of looks like if CM Punk all of a sudden became retarded and then had sex with Lance Hoyt.
Oh, my God.
You know?
Didn't one of those guys, maybe I'm thinking of a different duo of security guards turned pro wrestlers at TNA, but didn't one of those guys kind of look like Captain Lou Albano, or did I just totally make that up?
That I don't know.
Okay.
It's not Gunner. I don't remember what the other guy looked like.
Murphy?
I literally don't remember Murphy at all.
Okay. Well, neither does Vince Russo and neither does Dixie Carter. I'm sure the unemployment line knows him well, and
God, heaven.
Well, okay, Dusty, you and I talked yesterday about doing this podcast, and you specifically mentioned TNA. I just kind of wondered if you had stuff that you needed to get off your chest or what was going on in TNA lately.
No, I mean, I just thought, you know, since Jeremy and Kevin did WWE, maybe we should give equal time to Impact, and that's why I was watching it here. And,
well, we're coming up on an election year. I'm okay with equal time.
Well, on second thought, TNA does not deserve equal time. So.
Well, you're the only one that's seen the show, Dusty, so you're going to have to carry the water.
Okay. this is the first I've seen TNA in several weeks, and Sting is doing a Joker gimmick, and that makes no sense whatsoever. No sense.
Now, did anybody else see when he painted the Hulk Hogan, when he painted Hulk Hogan with the red paint originally?
I missed that one.
I watched it,
and people really ripped on it. I thought, I don't know, I didn't think it was that bad.
So I missed it. How did he paint Hulk Hogan? Did he paint his face, or did he give him a bloodbath, or what did he do?
He kind of slopped it all over his face, and it did make Hulk Hogan look old. He just got these red streaks on his face at the end of it. He was in his office. And I didn't think it was great, but people just thought that was the worst segment of TV all year. And I thought, it's not any worse than most of what else I see on TNA.
Dusty, you're a lover of fine art. What happens when you mix red paint with orange skin? What color do you get?
What, like sun color, like yellow, right?
I don't know. I think you just get a burnt orange, maybe.
Okay.
Or a
skin. Yeah.
I don't know.
Somewhere near brown, right?
Yeah. Well,
because
okay. The whole thing is the drizzling shits. No, I don't know.
Okay, got it. holy cow, this match sucks.
So the Joker gimmick, that's... Okay, and the thing that people have ripped on, and I've seen a little bit of it on YouTube just to get an idea of what was going on.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he stole the Crow gimmick in 96, 7, and
yeah. It
was what it was. He pulled it off, kind of. But, I mean,
yeah.
Heath Ledger's Joker is so close to Heath Ledger that how dare he?
Yeah.
How dare he?
Well, he's probably not doing as good of a job as Crimson in PWO.
Yeah.
The original Crimson. We'll say
yeah. That
for Ken.
There was a rhyme and reason for him to become the Crow, though.
Yes.
His character fit the Crow character. This is just a guy imitating character he saw in a movie, you know?
Yeah, a movie that came out 3 years ago, mind you.
Yeah. Yeah, the Crow was newer than that in 96, wasn't it?
I think, yeah, the original Crow came out in 93 or 4.
Yeah,
but, yeah,
okay.
he was doing the loner gimmick, and
yeah.
He was up in the rafters and standing in the rain and wearing a jacket.
Yep.
And, yeah, that made
sense.
That
at least makes sense, but Vince Russo is incapable of coming up with things that make sense. It's just copycat pop culture bullshit. So.
He comes up with a lot of stuff. I mean, we've
yeah.
given him credit for coming up with stuff, but... You know what, in hindsight, I wonder if we did a retro of, like, stuff that he came up with circa 99, how much of it would actually make sense?
None.
99, none, yeah.
None. 99 was one of the worst years ever for pro wrestling.
Yeah. It really
I mean,
was.
They were doing good business, but only because 97 and 98 were so good. It
yeah,
was
really.
Individual success. So.
Well, and here he is doing poor business in 2011.
Yeah.
What else is going on Impact that we might be able to comment on?
Oh, lots of women's stuff. Miss Tessmacher and Tara have a blood feud with Rosita and Sarita.
Okay.
They were fighting in the parking lot, and then they were fighting backstage. And then it was time for their match, and they fought before the match began. It was a blood feud.
Wow.
Epic proportions.
So Miss Tessmacher, who is essentially known for having huge tits.
Okay, she's hot as hell. Can I say that?
Yeah, that's all true. And Tara, yeah. I can see Tara having a blood feud maybe with somebody.
Mm-hmm.
And then I literally cannot remember. You just said after that.
They're against Sarita and Rosita. Rosita
whatever.
I've never seen before.
For God's sake. They could literally be the TNA World Tag Team Champions, and I couldn't give less of a shit.
Yeah.
But is Tara not having a feud with Madison Rayne still? What happened there?
Oh, yeah, good call, because Madison Rayne interfered in the match, but it didn't lead to the finish. It was a false finish.
What the fuck is with Russo having people interfere and not having it lead to the finish?
They can't have a match without interference, unless there's like 10 people in the match. So,
yeah, they could literally have a 60-man battle royal and still find a way to have interference.
Yeah, right? Interference should absolutely lead to the end of the match. Absolutely. Either a DQ
yeah.
or a cheap pinfall. So,
Dan, what do you think of that? I mean, that sounds legit to me, but it's all... I mean, I guess there's a swerve aspect to it. Like, interference is going to lead to the finish, and then it doesn't. Is that, like, a relief for the audience, or is it just more frustrating?
Well, the optimal thing would be not to have the interference, as you mentioned, but... They can't go that far, so I suppose at some point it might be better than the option of interference always leading to the finish, because the finishes don't mean anything. And that's been the problem with TNA. I'll watch for a week or two from time to time, or a few minutes here and there, and find some things that are, oh, we just passed an Arby's.
That's a bad place.
I lost my train of thought. But, you know, I guess in a way I'd prefer to have a pseudo-clean finish than all these interference lead to every finish, which is what they usually do. But neither option is optimal. They need to just cut out the interference for a long period of time so it means something.
Yep.
Yes.
So they can't decide what to do with the women, so that's no surprise either.
All right, not to interrupt you, but Eric Young is in a convenience store right now. Wearing pants with no shirt and his two belts. For some reason, he has two belts. And he's talking to D'Lo Brown, who's heavier than I am now. And he just rolled up D'Lo and pinned him in the middle of a convenience store.
What the fuck? What two belts does he have?
I have no. I don't want to look it up either. I don't give two fucks.
You know, like the TV belt? Didn't they make a TV belt?
Yeah, they turned the global belt into the TV belt. Just
and the first TV champion was AJ Styles when they cared about that belt, and then immediately went to Gunner.
Yeah.
And now Eric Young is pinning people in a convenience store because that's entertainment, right?
Oh yeah, he's oh my God, it's Christy Hemme hot.
She's like donut grease.
All right, so yeah, Eric Young, who is roided to the max now. I don't know when that happened. But
pushes.
Yeah.
I don't think he's very funny. Some people say he's so funny and he's so good at being comedic. I've never really picked up on that. Maybe I don't have a good enough sense of humor.
No, I've never laughed or chuckled once at anything he's done.
If you want funny, the thing is, he's just a buddy of everybody in management. I mean, if you really want a funny, you go to an Alex Shelley and a Chris Sabin. They're funny in a way that a lot of the audience is going to appreciate, but because they're not friends with Jeff Jarrett, then no one gets it.
Right.
What is up with, Chris Sabin's injured right now, isn't he?
Yes.
So Alex Shelley is doing something that's not, like, completely capitalizing on his talents, if I remember correctly?
Jobbing in singles matches in X Division.
Yeah, I think he's done okay in the X Division.
Okay, that's good.
Yeah.
And what is this? So let's talk a little more generally about TNA. I saw, and I can't remember if it was, like, Monday Night Mayhem or Between the Bottom Rope or Under the Turnbuckle starring Fabio or what the – some radio show that Eric Bischoff just did an interview for, and he said two things, and we can touch on them. I'll mention them both, and we can start with the first one. He talked about the X Division. He said when he got there, he asked somebody, what is the X Division, and no one could give him an answer. And that timing works out. That was about the time where they had no focus for the X Division, and now he's saying they're going to make a lot more effort in the X Division.
Right.
That was one thing. The other thing that he mentioned was Hulk Hogan versus Sting at Bound for Glory. And as he said, if that were to happen, it would be two icons who, if they were both as fired up and in shape as I think they can be, it will be phenomenal.
Mm-hmm.
Dusty, what would you rather talk about first?
X Division.
Okay, let's start with the good news first.
Yeah, I mean, if you treat it like a cruiserweight division and include big guys who can wrestle that style, I think that's what you had of WWE in one respect. So.
Oh, yeah, definitely. WWE has nobody. I mean, they've got, like, Evan Bourne, who does jobs in 2 minutes.
Yeah.
And Yoshitatsu, who's not good.
And Steam Trabajo.
Steam Trabajo, without work.
Yes.
And I don't know, I watched Justin Gabriel versus Tyson Kidd on Superstars Online this week, and basically all it was two small guys wrestling a heavyweight match until the 450.
Yeah. They did that to Jamie Noble back in the day, too.
Yeah.
Yep.
So,
I really like the, you know, the talent that, and Eric and I talked about this, and I didn't get Destination X. I would have gotten it had I been at home this Sunday evening because, I mean, if you're putting Austin Aries in a featured match, and I like to see Mazion at PWO, Jack Evans, did they end up hiring him? I assume that they did. It sounds like they are going to let Alex Shelley wrestle a little bit more in the X division. You know, if they've had good talent before, if they use it well, which probably won't happen, it really is something worth tuning in for, at least, or DVRing, which I haven't even been DVRing Impact as much lately.
Right.
My thing with Alex Shelley is he's an okay wrestler, and I've complained about this before. His TNA matches with Saban as the Motor City Machine Guns were just like spot, set up a spot. Oh, put the guy down on his knee so we can do a step up into Geary with the spot. Really, I mean, he's a good wrestler, but he's mostly just a spot guy, I think. To me, the real money in Alex Shelley is his personality. I still say one of my favorite things that I ever saw in Ring of Honor was at one of their DVDs, they had a storyline strung through it where Alex Shelley, I think he had gotten like kicked out of the embassy or something and was looking for a tag team partner and couldn't find one, asking a bunch of people, and they turned him down. And he was all downtrodden about it until he goes back to the men's bathroom and he's like, man, can't find a partner. And then, like, there was a sound coming out of the stall. And he opened the stall, and Delirious was squatting on top of the toilet, fully clothed.
Yes.
And he was like, oh, man, you know, I need a partner, and you're not doing anything, and I like green, and you obviously like the color green, and I kind of like tassels. Well, anyway, I was just wondering if you wanted to be my partner, and he didn't say anything, and he was basically like, if you will be my partner, give me no sign. And Delirious didn't do anything, and Alex Shelley was like, clapped his hands. He's like, all right, I got myself a partner. That's where you make money with Alex Shelley, is in the men's room. I mean, in his promos.
If you want me to eat these cookies, please give me no sign whatsoever.
That will be done.
I saw a YouTube video with he and Saban, and they were doing independent booking, and they were talking about, I don't know, it was hilarious. It was how privileged this other team was going to be in the ring with them, and how they, you know, let them think they had a chance to win and then beat them. And it was like a minute and a half promo, and I can't remember it, but it's kind of what Eric's saying. I mean, they both showed just tremendous personality. That when they were tag team champions and being treated seriously in TNA, they showed a serious side, like a this is what we really wanted side, but the kind of lighter-hearted stuff I've never seen in TNA.
Right. Definitely.
So that's the X division. And, yeah, I mean,
low-key, too. They are low-key also.
Yep.
Right? I mean, there's a lot that could be done there if they get their stuff together.
I mean, they really could have, like, a mini Ring of Honor if they wanted to. They could outdo Ring of Honor right now, I think.
Yeah, they could.
Yep.
All they need is to hire their booker.
There you go.
Oh, shit.
What about this Hogan-Sting thing? Now, Dusty, you and I had talked about this off-air a while back when it was just a twinkle in Eric Bischoff's eye, but now he's saying that Hogan's all fired up, and if he can get himself into shape, and he said, I've seen Sting doing good things since he came back, and if he can be motivated, I mean, first of all, how many ifs can you put in a sentence when, you know, Christ, when you got, like, Shawn Michaels versus The Undertaker, you don't get if this and if that and if that happens.
Oh, right.
So, I mean, I don't have a question, really. Just what do you think about this? So I'm coming to a head at the biggest show of their year.
I think it's total trash. I think it's ridiculous. I have no idea what they're thinking, you know, why they would do something from however many years ago.
I mean, it was 14 years ago. Come on.
14, 15 years, right? Yeah. Like, Hogan can barely walk.
Yeah. I mean, he's gone through multiple back surgeries in the last 12 months.
Yeah.
He's not working with Ric Flair, who probably at this age could make him look better. I mean, Sting has never been the part of a match to really make the other guy look great. I don't know, and it's gonna be, you know, it's gonna be the main event of the. I'm assuming it has to be the main event. Why? Who wants to see that? I don't know.
Very fair, blunt question.
What kind of person spends money to see that? You know,
a sick, depraved person.
Yeah.
Great. Just calling their character into question. What kind of sick individual pays money for this shit?
Yeah, no, I mean, if you had a card full of good matches and, like, had an appearance by Hogan or something, you know?
Yeah.
Maybe that would be okay.
In honor of Cactus Jack, we're going to go see... Even the sick, depraved fans of the ECW arena want to see me take the colostomy bag off of Christopher Reeve. Because you used to be Superman, but now you're not.
Oh, my God. Sarita's wearing a facial appliance.
The facial appliance. Awesome. What else? You mentioned Angelina Love via text message here a few minutes ago. What were you seeing when you mentioned Angelina Love?
God, I don't know who's uglier now. Is it her or is it SoCal Val? Uglier by the week. It's terrible.
It's not even that SoCal Val is bowling shoe ugly. I think if you drew an outline of her face, it would literally look like a footprint.
Yeah.
Her face looks like Mr. Peanut.
Wow. Yeah.
Her face looks like a picture. It looks like somebody just hit her with an iron.
Yeah.
Could hold an 8-day rain.
Nice.
Oh, God.
Looks like she's unattractive.
Your mother's so unattractive, she can barely get a date.
Yes.
God. I don't know. I don't see the appeal of SoCal Val whatsoever.
No. She's got that internet show, Pillow Talk, where she interviews other divas.
Gross.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I would rather see Karen Angle's talk show come back.
Yeah? Yeah, maybe.
Maybe.
I don't know. I'd rather than not do anything, you know?
Yeah. Heck, I don't know. Is there anything else worth a damn in TNA these days? Bobby Roode is getting kind of a little push. There's that Bound for Glory series they're doing right now. It's something, I guess.
I think that's actually pretty good overall. I mean, the matches have mostly been clean on TV for that, and it adds a little perspective. I can't believe they had Samoa Joe lose to Devon, but I liked how he was playing for submissions in that match, and then it backfired on him. I mean, they're using it to tell some decent stories. It's better booked than 99% of what they do, I think.
Yeah, it gives them focus.
Yep.
But Samoa Joe just lost again in the four-way dance.
Oh, my God. Wait.
So they're really chopping him out. I wonder if he's leaving.
If he's teething? Oh, leaving.
What? Oh.
I thought you said teething because he's a huge baby. You said leaving.
Oh, okay.
Sorry.
No, I didn't say Brodus Clay. I said Samoa Joe.
Brodus Clay looks like a gigantic baby. He looks like King Hippo from Mike Tyson's Punch-Out.
Yes. Or if you were Dirt Poor from Punch-Out that didn't have Mike Tyson.
Oh, yeah, there you go. That's right. I forgot about just regular Punch-Out.
Mr. Dream or whatever at the end.
They should have made... They had Tecmo Bowl. If they couldn't have gotten Tecmo to make it, somebody should have made Bowl.
Bowl.
No, that's ridiculous.
Everything's the same, but there's, like, no Bo Jackson or Ronnie Lott.
Right, yeah. It's like, who's that guy with 11 speed? Oh, that's Joe Baxson. Who's the other guy? Marcus Mallon. Oh, okay. Sounds awesome.
Okay.
Oh, Lord.
Yeah, it's tremendous.
Yeah, it's tremendous. I don't know. What else, man? We're on our way to the Pro Wrestling Hall of Fame in Waterloo. We're actually about 3 minutes away from our destination. What else you got in mind?
Yeah, give that a cheap plug there. Speaking of Eric Bischoff doing interviews, he did an interview with my boy Rikishi the other day.
Whoa, okay.
That interview will be up on thefullpint.com. It might be up now, but it'll be up by Monday, he said. So
that's awesome. We haven't pimped thefullpint.com in a long time, so make sure you go to thefullpint.com.
Yeah, my boy Danny Fullpint. He's the man, and he interviewed interviewed Eric Bischoff about Bruise. So, and
well,
a little
and
bit
Bischoff,
about Hulk Hogan.
So. Bischoff has been working on this new, it's like Buffalo Bill beer or something like that.
Mhm.
So that's awesome. Great. Good wrestling tie-in with beer.
Indeed. In order to enjoy TNA, you need lots of beer. So.
I was going to say, that's the only tie-in I can think of between professional wrestling and beer. So if you want that unique perspective, go to thefullpint.com for this interview soon.
Absolutely.
Otherwise, also, if you haven't checked out the Hacksaw Jim Duggan interview, I'm 17 minutes and 30 seconds of pure gold, so check it out.
Nice.
Your
first question was? Was he born with a beard?
Seriously. You know what? That's how we roll around here.
That is.
Dan, what are you excited about now that you're about 5 minutes away from this Hall of Fame induction ceremony and events and stuff?
Just meeting all the legends and taking in all the events this weekend. I'm really excited about it. Danny Hodge will be here and Terry Funk and Mick Foley and Jim Ross and some writers and historians, and I'm really really excited about it. And I think the show tonight might be interesting too, so we're going to see the pro wrestling tonight, and Gerald Briscoe is going to be there, just a number of big names, so it's really going to be a fun weekend. We'll maybe get some audio.
Ideally, yes, we will be able to circle back here, give some audio. We're going to put updates on stuntgranny.com as frequently as we can, and yeah, so I guess that's Dan and Eric checking out now that we're in Waterloo, Iowa.
All right. Well, for Eric Nelson, for Dan Zura, and for Don Gable, the greatest wrestler of all time, Don Gable, I'm Dusty Evening. This has been Stunt Granny 150 Part 3, and we'll try to do better next time.